did get hot yesterday, 28 degrees. The CJME weather guarantee for Windsor Plywood and DeHaar Hair Restoration jackpot is now $275. Nobody won yesterday. I added 25. And Danielle Henriquez in Glen Karen entered at CJME.com. And Danielle now has an opportunity to win $275 if I'm off by three or more today on a guaranteed high of 27 degrees. So good luck to you. Yes, hot and dry and windy. These are not conditions firefighters like to hear. And our firefighters are battling a number of blazes. The province is now officially declared a state of emergency. Scott Moe, our premier, said the declaration will give them access to more resources. But the thing we need the most is rain, and it's just not in our forecast, really. Yeah, that small threat of a shower, a thunderstorm here is only at 30%. But up north, not looking like there's much happening right now. And there's also talk about a temporary ban on ATVs up north, too, because they've been starting some of these fires. Well, let's turn to my buddy Rick Van Dyvendyke. He's the host of Garden Talk. Always welcome on a Friday morning because I feel like the weekend is here now. And Rick, we're firing on all cylinders, right? It is planting season.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right now, people are just finishing up putting in their garden. And because now, yeah, they put in the garden, finish, haven't put a few vegetables in yet. So there's still lots of people doing that. And now people turn into filling in those little holes in the yard, putting some shrubs in and trees in, and so it's full blast gardening time still.
One little snag here, Rick. Regina Moose Jaw are being asked to cut down on their water usage. So short showers, no watering lawns or washing vehicles, if you can help out here. It's voluntary now. Could go mandatory if we don't heed this. So what are your suggestions for gardeners about that?
Well, there's a lot of things you can do. I mean, obviously, one of the things we used to always do is put a rain barrel out, but that doesn't help right now that much. So bottom line is that without the rain is that you help conserve water. One thing is that when you're watering if you are going to water your grass, just water it a little bit longer and a little bit deeper, and so that you don't have to water this often. Because what happens is when you water just in shorter periods of time and you water every day, then the water doesn't go down deeper, and your roots don't go down deeper, and then it grabs that moisture. Where if you water only for like 15 minutes or 20 minutes, then that top dries out so quick, and then your lawn looks bad. So you can make it just by watering longer, less times a week is better. Also for your shrubs, using mulch and those kind of things. If you have irrigation system, putting a drip irrigation, it conserves so much water rather than just overhead irrigation for shrubs and that. So those are some of the things that you can do, or using a root feeder for trees, because you're not letting the water run down the gutter. You're actually putting it down where the roots are. And so using a Ross root feeder or just there's other apparatuses out there that can root down, in the root zone, and those work a lot better to conserve a lot of water.
Rick Van Dyvendyke, host of Garden Talk this Sunday morning at 9. Still a lot of complaints about ants and tent caterpillars. Remind us how to conquer those.
Tent caterpillars is easy. There's still lots of them. I was digging a trench the other day, and some of them they're on the march right now, the tent caterpillars. They were in the trench with me. I couldn't believe it. Using a product called BTK is probably the easiest one. It's a biological, doesn't hurt any other insect except for caterpillars. And they die by ingesting it when you spray it on the leaves. That works good. Ants, the best way for ants is a nematode. It's called Ant Out, and you spray it on the lawn, and what happens is that these little worms go down. They're tiny microscopic worms that go down to the nest, and they burrow into the egg, and they eat the egg from the inside out. They keep doing that, and the queen tries to move, and the workers bring an egg with them, and then that eventually just wipes out the whole colony as it keeps spreading through the colony, and it works really good by letting nature do its own thing.
Rick, I've got this beautiful elephant ear plant standing almost 5 feet tall in my home, and if I move it out into my deck, kind of semi-sun and shade, is it going to be fine?
Well, not with this heat. You have to acclimatize it. So don't move anything like that out into like a house plant or anything like that, out into the direct sun right from being inside. it'll get a leaf scorch on it. And so what you want to do is you want to put it in some place where there's a bit of shade, and then slowly move it out into the sun if it can tolerate the sun. So never do things to acclimatize it. It's very important. Even succulents, if you put them right from inside the house, right out into the sun, they'll have a hard time and they'll suffer. So acclimatize everything as you put it outside.
Garden Talk is on Sunday for 2 hours. We'll see you then, Rick. Thanks so much for the tips this morning.
Have a great weekend.
I spent a little time out yesterday afternoon. It felt hot. 28 degrees today, at least 29. It is getting hot in the city, and we haven't even officially hit summer here, but hot, dry, and windy.
Congratulations, Greg. I'm going to interrupt you right now.
What?
You're talking about hot.
Kevin Bartel joining me from the 980 CJME Newsroom.
How about those Edmonton Oilers?
You're congratulating me. Well, I didn't play, but I certainly cheer for them.
You know what, though? I hear that before when you know, say congratulations, and you're like, well, you didn't win it. It was the players. I feel like fans are very much a part of the team. If you've ever gone to a hockey game and been to a home crowd and the energy that they give the team that they're cheering for on the ice,
yeah.
I would say, yeah, you're kind of part of the team in a roundabout way.
Making me tear up here, buddy. Making me tear up. I couldn't sleep last night. You know, I am a Edmonton Oilers fan from way back in the early 80s. I used to live in Edmonton and Lloydminster, went to a lot of the great days of Messier and Gretzky, and became an Oilers fan long ago. And I know they've won a few cups, but in my lifetime, I'm getting up there. I want one before I go out.
And I'd like to see Connor McDavid win because he plays so hard. He's such a great player. Leon Draisaitl as well, former Prince Albert Raider, right? He's got the Saskatchewan connection. You want to see these guys win because they're so good and they were so close last
year.
When
McDavid scored last night, he went in. There was so much speed and he had a guy on his back there and the goaltender was just kind of like... And then he actually could stop in time before smashing into the boards.
Well, that's what they were worried about, right? He was going to go 100 miles an hour into the boards and get hurt. But no, stops, gets everything perfect.
Wednesday, Stanley Cup run starts. And they have home ice advantage, too. And you mentioned the fans are a big part. There's no louder stadium than Edmonton.
When a team wins, they should almost give a Stanley Cup ring to the city as well. They give them to everybody else.
Kevin, I'm a little emotional now. Maybe I'm getting a ring from you, too. Thank you for all the congratulations. Well, look, let's get serious here. Our Premier Scott Moe declared a state of emergency yesterday because of the wildfire situation. That means what, Kevin?
Yeah, so this will last for 30 days. It enables, in part, for the government to, I guess, make it easier to get military help. And that's what is something that certainly is on the table right now is the federal government. And we've heard from Mark Carney, he posts on social media that he is fully aware and supports Saskatchewan and will be ready to mobilize troops, whatever help is needed, wherever it's needed and whenever it's needed. Right now, Premier Moe, it's something that he is considering but hasn't pulled the trigger on yet. The forecast doesn't look great, though, in terms of rain, no rain right now, or very little rain up in the northern area.
The weather is the enemy right now, for sure, yeah. And I read this, the Canadian Interagency Forest Fire Center has raised Canada's wildfire situation alarm to a level 5, the highest level. That means wildfire activity is significant right across the country. It also means that all our Canadian firefighting resources are engaged in fighting fires and that we're calling now for international assistance. And they said the call is out. It'll take a few days. But that's the situation we're in. And Saskatchewan is getting a little extra help here, too.
Yeah, we are. And we've had help from Alaska, some equipment there. We're getting some help internally as well, internally within the country. We're getting some help from East Prince Edward Island. Nova Scotia firefighters are on their way here as well. So it's something that certainly, if the weather doesn't cooperate, more help might be needed.
Okay, more coming up on the wildfire situation with Kevin Martell in just a moment. We got to take a break. It's 6:58. Well, the big story of what's going on in our province is definitely mass evacuations, both in Saskatchewan and Manitoba now. This wildfire crisis has gotten so bad that both provinces now declaring a 30-day wildfire state of emergency.
The state of emergency in the province is really for us to prepare for the coming days where we think things are going to deteriorate.
Premier Scott Moe there declaring the emergency. He said that'll help us easily mobilize resources a little more and provide what's necessary to safely evacuate residents and protect communities as well. And this is clearly an ongoing story we're going to follow at cjambie.com and every day through your coming weekend here too. We're live and local. And one of our reporters, CJambie's Jillian Massey, joining me now on the phone. Jillian, yesterday you brought it to our attention about flying drones overhead of fires, and that actually has become a problem. So a little more about that, please.
Yeah, so we were first made aware just about the drone issue, actually from Manitoba Premier Wob Kanu. In a media event, he announced, listen, it's not worth the YouTube views to be flying a drone over top of the wildfires. And they actually had to ground a water bomber right near that Creighton Flin Flon fire a few days ago. So in yesterday's media briefing, Steve Roberts at the Saskatchewan Public Safety Agency said, listen, I understand that people want to know what's happening to their cabins, but it's not worth extinguishing our firefighters' safety, and it's not worth stopping progress just to see what's going on.
Yeah, you can face fines or even jail time for flying a drone over fires. And Mr. Roberts there also reminded everyone how these fires began. Here's a little of what he said.
People have caused these fires, and even with 4 weeks of fire ban and the recognition that there are these large fires that people can see, people are aware of, fires continue to occur.
And Jillian, now they're even considering bans on ATVs up north, right?
Yeah, and so yesterday they were talking about these ATV bans just because, you know, when things are so dry and they're so low riding, like they can throw off sparks and start flames totally unintentionally, but it still happens and it can still have, you know, disastrous consequences. At this point, I think at 5 p.m. yesterday, the SPSA actually put out a release that says that they're putting a ban on ATVs at this point, but they were quite adamant. You know, we gotta put a pause on the ATVs just for the time being, because they're starting to cause real problems. Lots of these fires, Greg, that we're facing right now, almost all of them actually are human caused.
Yeah, it's pretty frightening, the destruction that is happening up north. And it's so hot and dry, tinder dry everywhere right now, for the most part, that it's going to be a concern through the weekend here, too. And 17 active wildfires. That Shoe Fire is the largest. What did they say? That's like 12 times the size of Regina right now?
Yeah, it's about 12 times the size of Regina, about 9 times the size of Saskatoon. The Shoe Fire is still uncontained at this point, but it stayed the same size for the last few days. So, I mean, take that for what it's worth at this point. But, you know, what Mo said in this media conference, they declared the state of emergency because he does think that things are going to get worse before they get better. So what we're seeing is, you know, we've had 15 different communities be affected by these evacuations. Over 4,000 people have had to leave so far. We're not expecting any rain at this point. So, the forecast is just going to be more. We're expecting more hot weather, more dry conditions. So that's why they're calling this state of emergency right now, so they can properly prepare and keep people safe.
No rain in this forecast, but a little bit of breaking news here. Just handed to me. What is this? Evan Bray joining me now.
It's an official document, Greg.
Edmonton Oilers bandwagon transfer for Evan Bray, dated, yes. Reason for transfer, team has losing record. Last team you were a fan of, the New York Islanders, And are you a first-time bandwagoner? No.
I've been fickle
You've
in the past.
You've actually signed this. You have joined the Edmonton Oilers bandwagon.
Greg, I mean, I'm not leaving the Islanders, but we're golfing right now. I want the Oilers to win. I'm pumped up after last night's game.
And I know you are, because last night, as the final buzzer went, I texted you. I'd already booked my hotel for in Edmonton, because there is a demand for you and I to appear on the Green Zone as we did last year during Game 6 from Edmonton.
I think we were the highlight of their Stanley Cup coverage.
They've not had inside analysis like that from a bar, and the public would love to hear that again, I'm sure, but well, we just got to get tickets. They go on sale at noon today, and I don't know how we even got so lucky last year to get him for that game, but we did. Yeah, we paid full dollar, and it was worth it. So
here's my plea to the Edmonton Oilers. In 1983, I watched my Islanders beat the Oilers in the Stanley Cup final. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 1984, the Oilers came back looking stronger, calmer, and more capable, and they won.
Yeah,
so they dethroned my Islanders. Let's do it again.
Yeah.
They're looking good this year.
They're not going to lose this year. I've told you from the beginning.
You did.
I have held the course. I said it's going to be a rematch, and they will win this year. And you saw last night. They did not panic at any time.
That McDavid goal, to me, sealed it.
Yeah. And we say that so often about his big goals, but that's it. Hey, we're a little busy this weekend. You and I are hobnobbing tomorrow night. We're off to the Kinexus Arts Center with our friends from the Hospitals of Regina Foundation.
That's right. They've got their big Four Seasons Ball, which is a great fundraiser. They've got Paul Reiser there this year as part of the entertainment.
He wasn't mad about you.
Yep.
Surely he's done more.
Well, and he still does lots of comedy and stand-up appearances and stuff. But yeah, he'll be great. But it's just a good event. The crew always put on a great event,
and a lot less controversial, perhaps.
Well, that's right. I wasn't even going to bring up last year, but yeah,
I know Dino listens. I just sort of perk him up a little there, but yeah, that'll be fun tomorrow night. Now look. Not so fun as what's happening up north here with the wildfires. The state of emergency declared. You heard it here live yesterday on 980 CJM.
Right. It was the right thing for the premier to do. It opens up a box of tools and resources for the province when it comes to fighting these fires. And so we need all hands on deck. There's no doubt about it. It's heartbreaking to hear people talking about losing their homes or even the prospect. Can you imagine, Greg, leaving a community because you've been evacuated, not knowing if you're going to be actually able to go back to your home?
And we talked about that yesterday, you know, having to prepare something like, what do you take? What don't you take? And I saw some of those people from Flim Flon that just hopped in their vehicle and they immediately headed towards Winnipeg because you don't know where you're going to stay. And, you know, you look in the rearview mirror, you see the smoke and that orange glow, and you think, am I coming back to anything?
What am I coming back to?
And then you get, and the Red Cross is doing their best, but it's so stressful, right? Everyone is on edge.
Yeah.
And they're trying their best to help people. And, you know, we got our own problem here in Regina. There's so many hotel rooms that are already taken because of events on.
That's right.
Finding room for everyone is difficult.
For the evacuees. And I know that's where the communities step up. We've seen it in the past. I was actually part of the incident command group back in 2015 when we had, I don't know if you remember, but we had hundreds of evacuees in the city that year. So we will find places for sure to keep people safe while these fires are under control. But it's going to be a big part of the show today. I've got Nigel Maxwell, who's part of PA Now, their senior reporter. He's joining me at 8:30 to talk a bit about not just the news conference we heard yesterday, but what are we hearing? What is going on? What are the communities evacuated? And what are we expecting to see this weekend?
All right. That's at 8:30. The Evan Bray Show. CJME News Time now is 7:28.